Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
And welcome to Agent's Dossier, episode number 14. Let's start by meeting our awesome players. Let's go with Mac first.
Hey guys, I'm Mac, and I'm going to be playing Desiree Kimball, who is a former cat burglar and current what the fuck is happening person.
Hi y'all, Jay Holtham playing Mars Paulson, an unattached drifter who beats things up.
Hello, I'm Pooja. I am playing Robin Porter. Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor.
Hello, I am Saint, and I'll be playing Norman Morales, a totally chill and not secretive NSA technician.
I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Perla Ayala, a forensic anthropologist, and, just wondering what's going on.
So what's going on is before this episode, we had three individual campaign episodes where each person had their own intro into our little group here. We had new additions. We got Norman, Robin, and Mars in the overall campaign. And then in episode 13, we had Michelle and Max characters, Perla and Desiree, find their handler dead and something strange going on with a note that was scrawled in frantic lettering in his pants pocket. You guys also found a box that was full of pictures of a lovely little town, at least it was, called Edna Bay in Alaska. And a wonderful place where all your dreams can come true.
If your dreams involve cults.
Basically, everybody is now together. I know that's a really brief intro, but there was so much that happened over four episodes that if I was to do like a play-by-play with each one, it would take up 15 minutes of this episode. So, and you're all wonderful Patreon supporters, so I'm absolutely sure that you're not starting with this particular episode and you're up to date. Anyway, we believe in you.
We believe in you.
So we're going to start literally a few days after the end of everyone's last individual adventure. You have met each other. You have kind of gotten the lay of the land. Your handlers at this point are two federal agents. Agent Russ, who is a middle-aged guy, probably in his mid-50s, big kind of burly white dude. And then Agent Wells, who is a black woman in her mid-60s. And they both look incredibly fetish, which I got to stop using that word because obviously it's too close to fetish with a T instead of a D.
Yes.
Fed-like.
I was confused.
They are incredibly fed-like. I'll say that.
Welcome to Agent's Dossier Nights.
Exactly. But they wear the suits, they wear the ties, sunglasses sometimes a little too far into dusk, that kind of thing. But so far, they have been relatively hands-off with all of you. You each met at the dig site in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the cube is about halfway dug up at this point. It's pretty massive. It's a 30 by 30 foot cube. It's bones that are literally fused together. It seems to be like hundreds of bones, mainly made up of long leg bones, thigh bones, and arms and everything else, but entire skeletons have been fused in. You can see through it, though. It is not a perfect block. The more that you dig up, though, Perla, the more the students start to leave your project, to the point that right now the federal government has stepped in and has their own crew basically licensed archaeologists and stuff who are now digging instead of students because of the drop in people. You guys have a relatively interesting amount of information from your one-shots and whatever, and we're going to start the game opening in a relatively empty diner in downtown Charlottesville. It's a good point to maybe talk about some of those pieces of the puzzle that you guys do have, like the fact that, you know, you found Connor dead with information about Edna Bay, and any other pieces that you guys kind of want to tack together to figure out how you want to move forward. So who wants to start that conversation as you guys are eating steak and eggs?
Probably Desiree, because she's a loudmouth.
Sure, go for it.
I don't know who we can trust. Frankly, I'm not sure I can trust all of you, but I'm going to go ahead and just roll with that. But I think we need to do some investigating, and I think we need to make sure we're not being tailed while we do it.
I'd say that's always a good instinct.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with, what do we know about Edna Bay?
What's Edna Bay?
Well, Edna Bay, from what we found in that box in Connor's apartment, it was this town in Alaska. They were shipping a whole bunch of chemicals there. They found a bone cube exactly like the one that we have here, and the town's not there anymore. And now they're shipping the chemicals here.
Like, where did the town go?
It was destroyed.
Okay.
I love that there's two bone cubes, so at least there's a nice match set happening. But I think we need to get over to the factory. I think we need to find out what these chemicals are and how much is coming in.
They have some undesirable side effects.
Such as?
You know about these chemicals?
Well, they happen to have anything to do with people becoming one.
Cut it in one. I guess I should have expected it from the, you know, NSA.
I have some pictorial evidence, we'll say. Let me show you a couple of these. I want to whip out just a simple, definitely burner phone that has the one of the images that I found. We won't overload people, but especially that first one where it seemed like two people in suits were melted together.
Right. This would be Neha and Porter. Yeah.
Ooh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So can I get sand checks from Mac, Jay, and Michelle?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And thank you, Saint. I appreciate that assist on the layup of sand checks.
And right. You want to roll under you the want sand under. Points, right?
Right.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I had 45 in sand. I rolled 68.
Okay. So, yeah, you missed. Michelle?
I made mine 28 under 70.
And Jay, you made yours?
I made mine 28 under 40.
Okay, under you guys 50. Are fine. Mac, you just take 2 points.
Okay.
So it's just, it's disturbing, especially seeing cloth coming out of clothes, because it looks like their clothes was and skin, flesh was melted together as well, so.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Does the movie The Thing exist in our universe?
Yes, it does, and it's very close to that.
So, I guess that explains why all those bones are fused together, but why are they in a cube?
It could be that the chemical is being like used in conjunction with from the age of the cube. I doubt that the chemical directly created it. It seems like more the other fusion is a side effect, not the intended consequence.
A side effect of the chemical? Or of the
of
cube?
Of exposure.
Hmm.
Exposure to the chemical or the cube?
I don't know.
Ooh.
Oof. Great.
Cool.
I still think we got to get in and look at that factory, though, and figure out what, where, how much they're bringing in the first place, and what they're doing with it.
So I feel like this, just to interject this real quick, I feel that it is time for one of the many computer roles that I'm going to ask from Norman, our computer person, because he was looking into all this. So why don't you give us one of those many roles I'm going to be asking for?
All righty. Yeah, I was like, when do I start that? I didn't want to cut to the chase too fast.
No, all right.
Okay, still got my digital roller here. Okay, and yes, success, it was 20, way under my limit.
Awesome. So here's what you have learned, Norman. It's a liquid. It comes in drums, like those big 50-gallon barrel things that you put humans in and acid when you're on Breaking Bad, those kind of drums. It's those really big ones. They're getting about 2 shipments a week. They're never at the same time, so obviously they're purposely moving the delivery dates around, and they get about 10 barrels every time.
10 barrels.
So that's
okay.
Quite a bit.
Okay, well, here's what I know so far about our little tire factory. It's getting a shit ton of this crazy chemical. There's got to be at least 2 shipments per week, and it's always at wild times. So somebody is aware that there are eyes on this, and somebody is very, very upset about that. Can you imagine trying to schedule a different time for maybe human-sized barrel delivery every single week? That's, it's too much. It's too much work, and it's actually kind of funny I didn't catch on to this sooner.
It's 1,000 gallons a week.
I mean, if you know it's this dangerous, why would you ship it to such a heavily populated city? Because Edna Bay, Alaska, is one thing. Charlottesville, that's a significantly larger population.
Unless they're intending to test it.
Yes.
Possible.
I mean, when you do experiments.
How are you all doing over here? Can I get you anything to drink?
Oh, you've been an absolute doll. More coffee would be great. Coffee, everybody,
yeah,
coffee.
Coffee, of course. Sure.
Yep.
All right. Yep. I'll get you more coffee. Anything else to eat? Are you all set?
Yeah, I don't know. My stomach can handle anything else right now.
Okay. So your waitress, you know, toddles off and gets you more coffee. So.
Can I observe the waitress for a moment? Is she seeming a little too interested in what we're talking about, or?
I'm going to say probably. She is definitely looking interested. Now, does she look like spy interested or flow interested? You're leaning more towards flow. She's picking up little snippets of the conversation. Most of the people that come through here are truckers who are talking about, like, you know, long haul, right, you know, junk, not tire factories and chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And we're an odd looking group, I imagine.
Yeah, you're an odd looking group. You're the A-team of our Delta Green.
I feel like I would pick up maybe on the look that Norman is giving. She's like, maybe we should relocate after another cup of coffee.
Seems like a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Somewhere secure. I don't know if anybody has any particular suggestions. I'm sure we're all being tap bugged, what have you, at this point.
Yeah.
By Norman
confirming that. So. You don't have a burner by now. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all on NordVPN.
Exactly.
So you guys drink this last cup of coffee, and you've gotten a good sense of what's going on. Where do you want to reconvene whatever next move you're going to make? Because they're still digging that cube out of the ground, and you're not sure how the cube got there. Is it the same cube that was in Edna Bay, or is it a second cube?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the next goal? Because you've heard Russ and Wells talk about destroying the cube, getting it out, taking it to a secure location, and blowing it up. Obviously, from the pictures that you've seen, that the other cube that was in Edna Bay was active. It had energy going through it. This one's inert. Even though it's freaking out people and making them uncomfortable, it hasn't caused any ill effect beyond that.
So just to be clear, the students that stopped working on the cube, they just left. They didn't, like, disappear, correct?
No, they didn't disappear. Okay. They're still showing up in class. They all came up with excuses. I smoke too many bongs and I can't make it. I drink too many beers.
My hands unsteady with the brush.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get over my Adderall addiction. Whatever. Whatever works. You know, so to get off of this particular, they just seem uneasy, but no one's disappeared from the situation.
Well, I know the town pretty well, so I'm sure I would know of some secluded spot that I would be reasonably sure could not be bugged.
You know the town so well that you even know its actual name. So
there you go.
Unlike the keeper who does not.
I know a bar. It's pretty terrible. Last time I was there, a guy got killed, but they don't ask a lot of questions or care what we do.
I love it already.
All right, let's go.
So you guys get to this bar, and yeah, they have like the worst beers on tap, and the music is this eclectic, like, it's not like country, it's not classic rock, it's the C-sides of all of those albums. Like, none of the really good music's in there. It's just like the third cut on an album or whatever. So, which I should do a playlist. That would be kind of funny to do a playlist of this bar for Patreon.
Yes.
The worst tracks off of great albums that should be like, why would you pick that song over the eight other songs that are good? So that's the situation. You guys are able to get a table away from everybody else. So you've talked about the tire factory. You've talked about all the evidence that you have, the pictures, this cube that they're digging out. You found the note that you're not sure who to trust. Both Russ and Wells have indicated that they want to destroy the cube when they get it out of the ground. It's just really big. It's just taking a while. You have the one extra thing I will say is they have become less delicate with how they're digging. They are digging faster now because it was like your typical archaeological dig where, you know, small brushes, small trowels and all that. Now it's more like, let's just get this thing out of the ground already.
Backhoes and...
Oh my God.
Backhoes and all that. So you have all that information in the tire factory. How do you guys want to proceed?
I have one quick question. Are all the bones in the cube human, or is it a bunch?
No, okay. It's all human.
Only human bones.
Only human bones.
So there's like a biomagnet situation or something. Like,
yeah, okay. That's a good word for it, biomagnet. That sounds like an 80s horror movie, like, yeah. You know. Biomagnet.
That's probably real. Yeah, that probably exists out there.
We probably just like screwed up someone's trademark thing. Just real quick, the best fake title that I've ever seen for a movie that is a ripoff of another movie was The Day the Earth Stopped.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's great.
I read that, I just laughed. It's like, The Day the Earth Stopped. Like, okay. Anyway, so what do you guys think you want to do with all this information?
Run away and hide and cry.
I'm down with that.
And so the Delta Green game ends with the destruction of a city and living characters. So what are you guys going to do? What's the idea?
Well, I'm confused. I mean, I'm not a government agent or anything, really, I suppose. I'm just a doctor. But if all they want to do is destroy the cube, why haven't they done it yet?
Mm.
Always a good question.
Yep.
I'll say anything these agencies do is very deliberate.
One excuse that they give for that particular thing is that it's in this empty lot area pretty near a stadium. So they're keeping it kind of covered up by a huge tent, basically. Kind of like in Jurassic Park in the beginning when they're,
mm-hmm.
they have the big tent up and the guy lands his helicopter. But their excuse is that they want to move it to a more secure location before getting rid of it. They don't want to explode it in the middle of the city kind of thing, just in case something bad happens.
So we have a cube that they don't want to blow up, and we've got chemicals coming in for God knows why, and those could be used to make another said cube out of our entire city.
Right.
Mm.
I still think we need to assess how much they've fully gotten in. We have an idea of some of that from Norman here, but we got to see where, if it is it being stored there? Are they moving it onto a secondary location? What's happening with these chemicals?
Yeah, that's harder to find out because the tire factory that it's going into is actually, I believe it's been out of business since the 70s.
70s, yes. Mm.
And so it's supposed to just be in an abandoned old tire factory that no one has used in a long time. The name on the deed is the city. Charlottesville owns the land. They just haven't done anything. And other places in the city bulldozed, you know, older buildings that aren't in use anymore. But for some reason, this particular building has remained intact.
Yes, it's definitely not a CIA black site, which is the usual culprit for buildings that should have been knocked down.
Mm.
So I can't ask the CIA about it. They will be pissed that the NSA is doing anything in their business. It's supposed to be separate, but it's not.
Well, I know in my line of work, you don't go into anything blind. I think we need to go scope things out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys want to go sit on the location for a little bit and see what's what?
Yeah.
I would also like to do, at some point, it doesn't have to be right this second, but I want to do some research, some anthropological research to find out if there's any like myths or legends about such cubes.
Okay. So do we want to split up at all? The way that I'm kind of seeing it is maybe the doctors go and do more research on the cube. Norman goes and does more research with the NSA and tries to figure out more about the site. And then our muscle and our criminal go and stake out said tire factory to figure out the comings and goings. Does that sound like a good plan? Like, is that something you would want to do?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Works for me.
Okay, it cool. Works. So what I'm going to do is I'll just go around then to each of the little groups and then we'll go from there. Desiree and Mars,
yep.
How are you guys going to break this up? Are you going to sit on it overnight, a couple of nights?
Well, I'm wondering if near this site, if there is like a hotel or a motel or somewhere that we can sort of set up like a base camp from that we mm-hmm. can go to and from, because I think that's her normal mode of prepping for, you know, burglaries.
Right. I'm going to say that, yeah, the tire factory is in the same industrial area as the kind of oddball bar, which is what I'll name it from now on. There's a Motel 6 that Mars has stayed at. Again, Motel 6, if you're listening, if you want to, you know, for us advertising dollars, we'll take those. But
Motel 6, we promise you probably won't go crazy from Cthulhu-like things.
Yes.
There you go. New slogan.
So you guys can set up there, definitely.
Okay.
I go with you to sweep the place with my microelectronics skill.
Yeah, why don't you give us a roll?
Fab.
Yay.
Since,
I gotta use this.
Since you know that you're probably being watched by more
Absolutely.
Than one group.
I'm sure at work they're like, where is he? he has a valid excuse, but we need to know where he is. All righty. Oh, wait, what am I hitting under? Hitting under a 40, I believe. Oh, got 35.
Excellent. Nice.
Okay.
This game is already off to a much better start.
Motel 6 will leave the ceremonial candles lit for you.
You don't find anything. But Mars, I'm going to say that you do notice that there is a van. It looks a little too clean to be a van in this area. And it has set up shop not long after you guys get there.
Cool.
Any markings on that?
None. No. It's not like a pizza truck or whatever.
Right.
Frank's Flowers or anything. No. It's just brand new looking van across the street. It's a little suspect.
Rental plates?
Yep. And it's white. Mm-hmm. So, because most rental cars are white.
Got it.
What you're figuring is that they followed you. They see that you're setting up in this particular location. And at this point, they haven't even had a chance to put anything into the room yet. Because you guys have been setting up for your first night of surveillance.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. It sounds like FBI.
Probably.
That's Norman's guess.
Yeah, so let's jump over to the doctors real quick. What specifically, Perla, are you looking up?
I'm looking up ancient indigenous legends or lore about skeletons or bones or things being fused, things like that.
Okay, so you guys should have some kind of library use research, I believe. So why don't we do this? Why don't we do a straight up intelligence check? Because it's not really an anthropology check. It's more of a research check. So just roll against your intelligence, the two of you, and let me know what you got.
I got a 54 under my 60, so
I got 46 under my 75.
Cool. So here's what you have found. In about 1697, there is a story of a group of English explorers / colonists who showed up on the shore, and they brought with them a small cube of bones. Now, it doesn't say anything about them being melded together, but it says that this particular group of English explorers were basically running from the church and had left and shown up on the doorstep of the new land, America, that they had found. And it talks about that the cube was made out of animal bones, and the size of the cube sounds like it was probably cats and dogs, and these people were part of some kind of cult. That's all it says. I think that's a pretty big piece of information, so not to downgrade it. Like, oh, that's all you find. You know, that's, you know, decent.
I mean, so basically what you're saying is, like, it all comes back to the colonizers.
Yes. Absolutely.
Checks out. Oh, is there any mention of any texts? Anything that, I mean, like, where exactly they settled? Journals, a holy book?
There is definitely mention of an unholy book. And it literally just says that, the unholy book of the secret society. And the one thing that you do read into it is you're not sure how much propaganda is going on here from the local uptight Protestants who were in the area at the time.
Puritans, gotta love them.
Yeah, it's got to be something around that of, like, she's a witch kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Were there any, like, signs or symbols or anything listed in the text of, like, that would be a signifier of this cult?
There's a rudimentary picture of a tree. It actually just looks like a line down with several little lines going away from the base. It looks like a tree symbol of some sort. Makes you think of, like, some kind of druidic drawing or something like that. You know that this area, you know, obviously the East Coast is, like, was pretty well, starting in, like, what's probably about 1600. 1605 or whatever, right before Elizabeth died.
Well, 1607 was Jamestown.
Right. So early, people were coming over and starting to try to colonize the area. So
when was Roanoke? Because I thought you were describing Roanoke.
Roanoke, I can't remember the year. It was Jamestown was the first permanent settlement. Roanoke was before that. Yeah.
Before that. Okay,
was
yeah.
before that. And Jamestown was 1607. And you said this is 1697. So this is 90 years after Jamestown.
Okay.
Roanoke was 1587.
Wow.
Okay. Way early.
Way early. So
this is about 100 years after Roanoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Way earlier. See, Agents Dossier, learn history as we enjoy. But that's part of the reason that the information you're getting is spotty, is because you're talking about something that happened several hundred years ago, and you're just reading it in a book that it's been reprinted in, not the original manuscript. So let's jump back over to Norman.
Yeah, I would stay in the motel, but I'm doing my own thing while they do their own thing.
Why there? Okay, so you kind of, because you notice that this van is over there.
Right.
What kind of things do you want to do while they're out?
Well, after establishing, of course, my very secure VPN and Tor browser. one, I wanted to know, okay, is there a government connection to the tire factory? Is there another?
You've already established, there's another agency. This
but
was
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what that agency is, so it right. kind of screams out, you know, black ops kind of thing.
Right. Okay. So I know for sure it's connected. Okay. I wasn't sure if I was certain. So then I need to figure out who. That's what I want to focus on.
You want
on.
To focus
who,
on that? Well, yeah, let's go back to our mini roles of computer.
Science.
Computer science. Yeah. And we'll see how you do.
All right. Here we go. 25. Success.
Okay. Cool. It is a division of the CIA.
Oh.
And it's just called Majestic.
And the info I found is that they are operating out of there, or that they have paid for the land, or what kind of level of...
What you can tell is that they are the ones that set up all the deliveries to the tire factory. You know, right now it's just the state of Virginia that owns the land, but a fake bureaucracy person has probably been created with a name and everything else that has a background. You're pretty sure if you were to call the phone number that's on the public record, you would get a person who's in a basement answering phones via spy stuff. So,
right.
Now I'm going to roll to see if they notice you poking around.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you whether or not I succeed. Because it's fun that way for me.
Oh my gosh.
As a person. So okay. So, that's the information that you find from all that. Okay.
Okay.
And for right now, we're going to jump over to our final team real quick. Desiree and Marge, you know from Norman's info that these shipments tend to come between about 5 at night to 5, 6 in the morning when no one's around in this area because it's an industrial area. So I'd imagine you'd probably sit on the place overnight to see kind of what's going on. Am I right in assuming that? I don't want to...
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, do we think this van is Delta Green or do we think this is another group that's also...
Oh, the van. Yeah, if you want to start with that first, we can do that. You don't know who's in it at all, so...
I feel like we have to deal with this van.
Okay, cool. How do you and Mars want to proceed?
Also, I can assist since I'm still in the area, right?
Yeah, you're in the hotel room.
Yeah, we're in the hotel.
I've got mechanic skills and stuff. Yeah, if you need that, I'm... still around and drive heavy machinery. We're not stealing a car, right? But if you need to.
Days young. So Desiree, what do you want to do?
Can we see in the windows? Does it look like they're looking towards our direction? Does it look like they're looking towards the factory?
It looks like they're parked right outside your hotel, outside the Motel 6, mm-hmm. Across the street. And they're set up in such a way that, yeah, they're totally scoping out the comings and going from your room.
From the motel room?
Yeah.
Norman, with your hacky skills there, can you, and this is like a TV cop show thing, but I don't know, maybe it's a real thing. Can you like hack the rental company? Like, we've got the tags. Can you figure out who rented this car?
Well, in real life, yes. In this world, can we do that, Wes?
Sure. Give me a roll.
All right. Oh my God, I love this.
And I too shall make a roll.
Oh, all right. I feel powerful this time. Oh yeah. Three success, super success.
Ooh. You find out that it looks like your direct boss, Norman, in the NSA, has rented this vehicle. They used a fake name, but you were able to get by that pretty quick.
That feels like a troll move, is what Norman says.
Yeah. You know what they really hate is when you know that they're watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really hate that. I kind of want to go let them know that we are aware of their presence.
I was thinking that same thing, too.
So I want to go up to the van, and I want to go knock on the window.
Yeah.
All right. So Desiree and Mars just walk straight over, and you knock on the window.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, middle-aged woman, rolls down the window. She's got the bleach blonde hair and the spray on tan, maybe a little too much makeup. And she goes, "Oh, hello.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Y'all know anywhere good to eat?"
Not in this town. We just got here. We're going to be staying at the Motel 6. And she starts to get out of the car. Mm-hmm. And then this other guy starts to get out of the car. And they have, like, duffel bags that aren't quite big enough to hold much. But they're all like, "Yeah, we were just checking out this place, you know."
Mm-hmm. "Oh, it's great. It's lovely. I definitely think you should go check in. So the manager's office is right over there."
"Oh,
super
thank you.
Friendly. Feel free, like, you know, to go ahead and do that, because I really think that you're going to enjoy your stay here, because there's no reason you wouldn't."
The total awkward silence, and they're like, "Thank you," and they start to walk away.
I want to break into the back of their van when they're in the manager's office.
Yep. Which I figured, but this is a great place for us to stop.
No.
Right here. So we're gonna stop it right here. That was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you guys. We'll find out what happens next time. As Patreon members, you guys know where to find us, and you are helping out by being supporters. We really appreciate that. But just for fun, let's go around and find out where you can find all our wonderful players. We'll start with Michelle.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music on Plate Mail Games through DriveThruRPG or BattleBards.
Hey, guys. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me online as at StrangeLikeThat, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebooks.
Hello, I am Pooja. You can find me on Twitter at LA Daisy Girl. That's LADESI Girl, and pretty much everywhere else is Forgotten Saves.
Hey, y'all. You can find me on the Twitters at J Holtham.
And yeah, I'm Saint, and you can also find me on Twitter at Saint Spider TV, all one word.
And I am Wes Otis, and you can find me at Plate Mail Games on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk at you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.